I've titled this sermon, From Here to Eternity. I'm thinking about heaven more recently than I have. I always, at some point, pray a blessing on folks for heaven and pray with people about heaven. But because my mom's passing, heaven has had a more significant meaning to me. Why? Because in the closing hours of mom's life, when my brother Ron and I were gathered around her bed, we were singing hymns to her about heaven. Ron was playing an accordion, and the music he was playing was focused on heaven. And about 1 o'clock, mom died at 1:20. About 1 o'clock, we felt the moving of the Holy Spirit to not just be beside her bed, but then to lean on each individually, lean on her and just hold her like this. And Ron said what he wanted to say to mom for a few moments, and he was tear-filled, and I did the same. And I said to mom, you're going home to heaven. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see, then I named a bunch of her friends and family who were believers, and I said, you're going to see all of these folks. Mom, be blessed. You're going home to eternity with Christ. We went outside for a couple of minutes. I think it was about 10 minutes just to get some fresh air. And when we came back, she was gone. We gave her permission to go, and she scrammed. That's my mom. While you were sleeping, you were unknowingly on an amazing journey. As Christopher Flannery, host of the blog The American Story, writes in an article published in Primus, a publication of Hillsdale College, quote, each morning we wake after disappearing in sleep for a split second of eternity, surprised again to find ourselves still here. We reflect that we have once again successfully spun around the Earth's axis. If we are in the northern latitude, somewhere between Santa Fe and Cheyenne, we have traveled 20,000 miles since yesterday. While you were sleeping, the Earth was spinning. Just spinning from day to night and back to day again. Looking back over the past 365 days, we have spun over 7 million miles. In our orbiting, we have sailed an unthinkable 560 million miles in space. It's amazing. As you slept, time and travel passed without your notice. The Bible speaks of things happening in heaven and eternity as occurring in the twinkling of an eye. Less than a second, apparently. You know, the Bible says that a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years. What's a second to the Lord? It's a nothing burger. This morning we'll explore what heaven and eternity will be like, and I'd like to organize our time using three questions. Question number one, and I'm going to ask you spontaneously, when I ask the question, for your verbal, vocal answer. Is there a heaven?
Yes.
Any no's? If there was a no, I'd take you back to the church and talk to you. No one can prove there is a heaven, but our biblical faith makes it clear there is a heaven. In fact, the Bible says, how many heavens are there? Three. If you've been around this church long enough, been to Bible study, been with us through the book of creation, of Genesis, you know that there are three heavens. 2 Corinthians 12:2 gives us the first hint. I knew a man in Christ alone, Paul writes, 14 years ago, such a one was caught up into the, look it up there, third heaven, three heavens. Heaven number one is the space between earth and the clouds, our atmosphere, what we're breathing right now. The Bible says it's as high as the clouds. The Bible says it's that space where birds can fly. Second heaven is the space between Earth's atmosphere and our solar system. Everything out there, the stars, the planets, whatever is out there, that's the second heaven. And the third heaven, can you imagine where it is? It's where God is, our Father, which art in heaven. Three heavens, the Bible says. Question number two, who will live in heaven? God? Angels? and believers. You, if you say goodnight here, you're waking up to breathe heavenly air. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. C.S. Lewis wrote this, his inconsolable longing for news from a country we have never visited. He had his eyes focused on heaven. He was looking forward to going there. Are you looking forward to going to heaven this morning? It's going to make all the difference in how you live. It's going to make all the difference in how you see life and death. It's going to make all the difference in what you have in your heart called hope. Those without Jesus Christ, those who reject, just heard the story of a woman who was testifying to some friend, and the friend said, I don't believe in that heaven stuff. I don't believe there's an afterlife. Now, that is an example of faith in the negative. Here's the reality. How do you live knowing that all you've got is 75, 80, 90 years, whatever it is? My mom, 101. No matter how many years you've got, you don't have eternity. You have a certain number of days, and after that, what? Well, if you don't believe in Christ, and you don't believe in the Bible, and you don't believe in heaven, what are you looking forward to? Nothing. Admit it. Don't say that you don't believe in that. Say, I believe in nothing. And then how rational is that? And how do you live believing in nothing? And there's nothing after this life. What hope does the person who believes there's nothing bring at a funeral ceremony to the people who are grieving? I mean, if they were telling the story as they believe it, you can just look down at these folks who are grieving and say, well, that's it. He, she is gone. You'll never see them again. So don't get those kinds of ideas in your mind. You know, when I'm conducting a funeral, one of the things I say many times is, we're not saying goodbye. We're saying see you later. Is there a difference? Believing that there is an afterlife, believing what God's promised is true. Question number 3, what happens after a believer dies? 9 things I'd like to share with you. There are more, but here's my 9. Number 1, the soul and spirit leave the body. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. Verse 6 says, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So whatever it is that makes you who you are, the essence of who you are that's in here, that's looking out at you right now and you're looking out at me from the inside, that thing that is life, that thing that is conscience, that thing that is intellectual, that thing that is emotional, that spirit, that soul is in you. It leaves the body upon death. And where does it go? The Bible says it ascends into heaven to be with the Lord. How does that go mechanically? When we give our last breath and our heart stops, the Bible teaches that angels come down and they stand beside us. Listen to Luke 16:22. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So you're going to be surrounded by angels. And as your soul and spirit rise to heaven, you're going to be accompanied by these angels. You're not going to be alone. It's nothing to be afraid of. But it's going to be the best ride you ever had. You're going to move pretty quickly through the atmosphere and through the universe. And you're going to come to the feet of Jesus. In heaven, a home is reserved for you. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I've often told people that I have a forwarding address. You know, I grew up in a very rough neighborhood in Brooklyn. I'm going to get corny now. It was so rough they used to serve broken leg of lamb. It was so tough that parents would leave while the kid was at school and not leave a forwarding address. In heaven, you will have an upgraded body. 1 Corinthians 15:40. There are also celestial, that's heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. In other words, this is the body you've got now. Guess what? This gets sick. Guess what? This gets cancer. Guess what? This has a variety of things that distress, depress, and disappoint. Our eyesight goes. Our hearing goes. You wake up in the morning and you got a whole new set of aches and pains. And you've got a pill box. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And inside there are about 200 pills in each one of those days. And then you try to get them swallowed all the way. Ain't easy, McGee. Your new body will be, this is amazing, your new body will be forever young. How old? Here's the best speculation, I believe, that your body will be like Jesus. And in his earthly body, he died at age 33. Now, 33 is supposed to be like your peak age. I believe that that's the age we'll be. So you'll have a new body, spiritually, emotionally. It'll be whole. It'll be healthy. There'll be no more pain, no more distress, anxiety, disease, pandemics, or cancer. A cute little story. Two Christians lived very healthy lives. When they died, they went to heaven. And as they walked along, marveling at the paradise around them, one of the guys turned to the other and said, "Wow, I never imagined heaven was as good as this." "Yeah," agreed the other guy. "Just think, if we hadn't eaten all of that oat bran, we would have gotten here 10 years sooner." 5, you will know family and friends and enjoy wonderful fellowship with them. A dear lady years ago in my early part of my ministry was haunted by the fact she once asked her pastor if she would be able to see her dead son, who was 20 years old when he died in an accident. And the pastor said, "No, you won't know him at all." Well, that lady was haunted by that response for years. And a friend of hers who just started coming to Amwell, she asked that friend the question, and they said, "Well, let's go see Pastor Bob and see what he says." And the answer for me is yes, you will know your loved ones. You will know your friends. Let me give you some evidence. Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, the believers, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You will have a perfect body. It will be recognizable. Do you like a really good meal? I'm looking out at you. Come on, be honest. Do you like a really good meal? I think you do, because I certainly do. Do you like sitting at a meal with stimulating conversation, lots of laughs, cordial feelings? Do you consider a meal like that, when you're having a great time and everybody's left, do you consider that time boring? Well, if that's boring, I can't help you. Did you ever attend a gathering that you wish would never end? Like this morning. That's not boring. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be so happy it's never going to end. That's not boring. 6, Revelation 22:3, we will be in service to the Lord. That service could be in heaven, in earth, or someplace in the universe where your unique gifts and talents given you on earth can be used in God's service to help those in need. For the adventurer's heart, and they won't be bored. So don't think of yourself as sitting on a cloud with a harp. You're going to be employed by the Lord. He's going to give you opportunities that God is going to give you. 7, Matthew 19:28. Some of us will be assigned by Jesus to positions of authority on earth, and we will judge with him. You might be in a position of authority. Maybe because you're in a position of authority now, God is preparing you for what you're going to do then. Those assignments are for those who see injustice and corruption and want to stop it but can't do it in this life. There will be places on earth and elsewhere for those who are gifted with a mixture of wisdom, justice, and righteousness. Doing what is right is never boring. It's necessary. 8, there will be worship and there will be music in heaven. You know, when as a young man leading youth group in Brooklyn, New York, our teens loved to sing. We used to have what you now call worship time, but it was based around a lot of old choruses and so forth, and they loved to sing. We used to sing for a half hour before we got down to teaching and preaching the word. Now, I heard that there are churches now that they sing praise songs for an hour and then listen to a message for 10 minutes. There's going to be a beautiful balance in heaven, amen? The book of Revelation contains more songs than any other in the Bible, with the exception of Psalms. 14 songs and all sung by groups appearing in heaven. Did you find the Browders boring? No, it wasn't boring. There is nothing boring when you're looking in Jesus' face with a choir of countless millions of angels and people singing his praises. It's going to be pretty exciting. The closest I have ever gotten on earth to that was when I was in my 20s and signed up to sing in the choir for Billy Graham's New York, one of New York crusades. And it was held in the Salvation Army building on, I think, 18th Street or 23rd Street, I forget. I think maybe 23rd Street in Manhattan. And I got in there with some friends, and there were literally a few thousand people in that choir. And when they started to sing, I couldn't. I was just so choked up. And I just wanted to listen. It was like, here I am in heaven. This is like, this is kind of like a taste of heaven. Number 9 and our last, Revelation 21:22 describes eternity as spectacular beauty, color, lights, the warmth of eternal peace and rest. We will be one with God and one with his revitalized creation, one with all people and one with all living things. Air will be pure, water will be crystal clear, and not only clean but medicinal. We have a great story to tell. Why are we ashamed to open our mouth and talk about what Jesus promises us in the next life? That's got to be appealing to the people that have given up and have no hope. This is the essence of what hope is all about. All living things will contribute to a wonderful eternity. And above all, we will be with our Lord and Savior and Master, Jesus Christ. Again, C.S. Lewis, discussing heaven and hope in his book, Mere Christianity, writes, quote, creatures are not born with desire unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger? Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim? Well, there's such a thing as water. If I find myself a desire with no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, I must take care, on the one hand, never to despise or be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other, never to mistake them for the something else of which we are only a kind of copy or echo or mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find until after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that other country and help others do the same. You've got a story to tell. The distance between here and eternity is one heartbeat and one breath. Where will you and I spend eternity? And that's the question for us this morning. Where will you spend eternity? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Is he your master? Is he the Lord of your life? When you put your faith and trust in him, is that just the beginning? Are you on the journey that leads to purpose and meaning? Do you have friends in your life who would never know you were a Christian because you never shared your faith? How about thinking about them this morning? How about pointing your friends and your family and the people in your life who without Christ have no hope for life after death. You have the secret. Why keep it a secret? From here to eternity, the big question, what will you do with the dash in between here and eternity? I want to live my life for Christ however long I live, and I pray and believe that that's the same purpose in your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the promise of heaven, not just a promise in our imagination, not just something that we hang on to because we're just weak, but something that we can stand and shout to the world, I'm going to heaven, can't wait. Gonna see Jesus, can't wait. We thank you, Lord, for that promise. We thank you for how it affects our thinking and our living. Now I pray a blessing on my brothers and sisters as we close with him in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.